Yeah, good morning. Yeah. So we should always come to the house of the Lord excited. Like he told us the story of that there's going to be rain. Everybody came, and only that little child, 6 years old, came with an umbrella, showing that this is all. We should come to the Lord excited, expecting God to do something for us. Amen. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, with a grateful heart, we joyfully thank you for giving us the opportunity on this side of eternity to meet again. Lord, so many people this morning with what we call a good weather, a nice day, we go out doing their own things, different things. But Father, you have put in our heart to come set this time aside, to come give you praise, honor, and glory. And we are grateful for that. Lord, it's not of our own choosing, but it's because of your love, your grace and mercy for sinners like us. And Father, we thank you. And Lord, I pray that you help me this morning, Father God, to speak these few words. And Father, I pray that you help, Father God, all the saints open their heart. And may we all together, Father God, open up our heart to hear from you, oh God. And as we know, the word is a two-edged sword, Father God. And Lord, we pray that may you help all of us to worship you, praise you, Father, and bless this service. We commit all to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for a while. So, let me give my title. And so my title today is The Lord's Prayer, Part 10, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord's Prayer, Part 10, Jehovah Nissi. But before I really go any farther, I just would like to do something that the Lord puts on my heart. You see, when we come to the house of God, we all come in with all our fires, right? And when Brother Bram told us the story of, is it Van Winkle, the founder, I forgot the name, Arnold Van Winkle, the founder of the Swiss state, he said that day when he took off, he took everybody. We have this strong army, but take everything that you can. Sticks, whatever you can. So it's all everyone and a one against a strong army. So when we come to the house of God, it's a participatory. And you hear about school. It's a Sunday school. When you go to a school, the teacher don't spend a whole hour talking, right? He asks questions. People talk back and forth, right? And he give homeworks. And obviously here we're not going to be turning in literal homeworks to grade. But he asked questions about the homeworks, right? And then you have the service where the minister come and preach. And that also is participatory because you have to still respond back with amens. And you can see, for instance, in the psalm, they will say, and the other congregation say, amen. So it's still that back and forth. When you come to the house of the Lord, it's not that we have a minister and then we are just going to listen. Maybe that minister, maybe what he prepared, that's not what God wants him. But to pull on a gift, when that back and forth going, the spirit begin to move, God can move the minister away from his notes and really deliver to you the message that he really that he has for that day, right? So I'm gonna be for my Sunday school. I've been praying about this. I'm gonna do it a little different. It's gonna really be a Sunday school because I don't want to feel that you guys are getting two preaching in the day. You get a preaching from me, and then the minister also come preach. So we are really gonna have it the style of a Sunday school. Everybody's going to participate. Okay? And if possible, I really appreciate if we can try really to take up enough seat, okay? So we don't leave pockets. We don't leave pockets to allow, you know, the devil to come and fill those pockets. Let's filled up the congregation of the Lord. Let's fill that pocket and tell him, Satan, you have no right here. Get out back there. I mean, get out from this room. We don't need you here. Amen? So we try that. And when I have scriptures, we are going to read the scriptures. It has to be participatory because, you see, if I come here and I pray and I read a scripture, I may be in the spirit of scripture. Sometimes I may get excited and saying things and go maybe even skip some of the things. But when we all read it, then it's not just the minister who is like leaving his own message, but it will be the whole congregation of God benefiting from the food. How would you think if I say I have a table of food and people are just like, you see me just eating and enjoying, say, ooh, this is really great food. And I'm excited, I'm eating. And you guys are in line and just watching me. You know, right? You know, do that. Everybody come and take food and eat and, right? So this is spiritual food. We all going to enjoy together, all right? So what I will be doing starting today is that I have scriptures. We will read the scriptures. And at the end, I will be giving some homework. The homework will not be anything that you're really, it may be just reading a little bit farther, deep what I have. And think about something you want to ask about it. For instance, when I came and talk about Jehovah Rapha, and you guys read a little bit more, the next time, or even when I'm preaching, like a school, raise your hand. Raise your hand shows a sign that I have a question. And if you think that, wait a minute, you just said something, okay, this is something that the Lord has done in my life. You say it there, we all share it. I will not be in the mold that I'm here, I have a subject, I want to finish it. If it takes me the whole year to finish that subject, as long as the children of God have been blessed, that's the most important. Listen, I'm nobody. You are not here to hear from me, but you are here to hear from him that at the end you are edified in the Lord, that you serve him, not look at me, not look at whatever I'm bringing is what maybe he opened a little window for me to see. I have this for my children. And when I come here, then he opens all our heart. Amen? Are you all with me on that? Do you all agree that will help us all? And like I said, I won't be in where I say, you know what? I have 45 minutes. I have this. I have to run through. No, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm living my own excitement, what I learned. Okay, so if anybody have a question, ask. How does that apply to you? Something that if you have a question that you don't understand, how does even this, share it. As a way, we all talk about it. It's going to be participatory. It's going to be a class. It's going to be the children of God. It's going to be the assembly, the saints gathered together, worshiping him. In that prison that day, when they're all in the prison, they say that they all raised in one accord, one mind, and everything shook. Amen? It was not one person standing and praying. Right? It was not just one apostle praying. They're all in one accord, one mind, and when they talk, I know I think that's not the prison, but at the house, and they say that about the heathens, and they say the earth shook, the house shook. Amen? So we're going to do it that way. So I'll start reading. We have some scriptures. Could you put on the... So, first of all, let me quickly recap. Since it's been, I was gone for some time. I was gone for some time, and I thank my precious brother Tim for taking over last Sunday for me, covering I was at camp. So, the class is starting now. So, what subject are we talking about? Now, brother Tim, we're going to have that, and we're going to pass the microphone around. So what are we talking about? The Lord's Prayer. Okay, thank you. So we are speaking about the Lord's Prayer. And what do we know about the Lord's Prayer? What do we say that we know about the Lord's Prayer? Start our Father. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, sister. It's the only prayer that we know the Lord taught us. There was something about that prayer that we saw that prayer has everything that a man need, is equipped with everything that a man need for his whole journey here from. I wanted to go to the last, for I say Jehovah Nissi. Okay, he has everything that we all need to go through this journey from cradle to grave. Right? Now, what as my wife, Sister Henriette, said, it starts with a key, which we are on now, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Right? Our Father. So the Lord's Prayer starts with one key word that we've been on for the past 10 services. You'll say, wow, Brother Marcel, 10 services on just one word. And as we know, we said that the word our Father is the key to enter that prayer. So what did we say about Father?
We have to have a relationship with him first, establish relationship vertically with him, and then you can start from there.
Thank you very much, my precious sister. I don't know all the names, okay? So if I just say sister, if I know somebody name, I miss, but I don't know all the names. So anyway, yes, we have to establish that vertical relationship. And I call it that. Before you can call anybody your father, we saw that the first thing that you must do is establish that paternity relationship. I cannot go out in the street and anybody run into me and say, Father. Right? There has to be first a relationship, a paternity relationship established before you can call somebody my father. And we saw that paternity relationship is not just by saying, I am a Christian. But when you cross over, what do you become? A Hebrew, wow. You see, this is an excellent class. You see that? Instead of me just sitting here saying those things, you see, they say, on a three Wednesdays ago, I talked about a brain. Sometimes the reason why they say, repeat it. When you repeat it, it's like you're having your brain print it. Sometimes when you're reading something, all right? When you're reading something or listening, either when you're reading it, your brain, it's like your brain is printing it, right? So sometimes in a Sunday school, give you the opportunity to make sure that you understand what we are talking about. All right, so when you cross over, I was explaining to you that the word ever means the other side, ever. But when you say Ivrit, which if anybody who knows Hebrew, that's the way they call the Hebrew language. When you say Ivrit, that means a crossover. And that word and crossover and the word Ivrit is what today we call Hebrew. And that appeared for the first time in what Genesis? Anybody remember? You see, that's why we're going to be having it. Anybody remember in what Genesis, what chapter? Okay, I'll help you so we move quickly. Since this is the first time, I kind of took you all by surprise. But next time, you will know that when you're quoting the scriptures, you remember it because Brother Marcel may be coming and asking questions, right? Okay. Listen, I'm not doing this to embarrass anybody. I just want us all to just benefit from the things that we are teaching. Else, like I said, I can leave my old message and move fast because I'm so excited about what I study, okay? So it appeared in Genesis 14. In Genesis 14, I think verse 13 or 15, that's where the word Hebrew was introduced for the first time, and they call him Abraham the Hebrew. But we read many quotes from Brother Branham, it means Abraham who have crossover. So when you're saved, amen, born again by the Holy Spirit, Christ, you're establishing by the Holy Spirit, you are establishing that paternity relationship. Amen? God is your father. But before that, you are just saying, Father, Father. But he's not your father. If you see, Nicodemus came to him by night, and he said, Lord. And he said, first thing he said, he told him, he came and told him, listen, all thy teaching, we know that it can only come from God. Because no man, you would think first that this is somebody coming and acknowledging the work of God, that God will begin to pat him on the back and commend him. But Jesus said, unless a man be born again. Because what Christ can tell him that unless you're born again, feel the Holy Spirit, all the thing that you're telling me doesn't apply really to you. Amen? I'm not really your father. Amen? So we saw that the Holy Spirit in the Christian life is very, very, very important. It's nothing to take light. It's nothing to pretend I have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you must make your call and election sure. Because if you remember, Jesus said, and that day men will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And I said, depart from me, for I don't even know you. That's a scary thing. Amen? So then, we said that when God began to form a family, what did he do? I told you that he's a father. And a father, you can turn this off for now, but we get to that. But a father likes to always do what? Serve his children, but what else did I say about a father? All right, like I said today, I'll help you laugh because I took you by surprise. We don't want a father like to identify his characteristics, and I dwell a lot on that because when I take the book of Exodus, that's all what God was doing. When God first, the first thing God did, he attracted Moses. Amen. And Brother George Martin was saying last time, he knew Moses like a research was in Egypt, so that he attracted his attention. You know, Brother George Martin gave an example last time. So God attracted Moses' attention. So God, he began to show him, I'm a God of wonder. And then when Moses began to talk, he didn't just tell Moses, hey, listen, Moses, I'm the God of your fathers. I'm God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. Just go, no, God does not do things like that. God wants you, when you come to God, you have to come and you're convinced. Not that you come by what somebody says. Like Moses, I know Moses was raised by his Hebrew mother. They might have talked about the Torah. He might have a bar mitzvah or whatever, because he was raised by his Hebrew mother anyway. Even though Pharaoh's daughter found him in the water, he was raised by his Hebrew mother. Amen? But God doesn't want him to be known by what you were just taught by through your bar mitzvah. God wants him to know him. I'm your father. So Moses, you and I, before I sent you out there, we are going to establish this paternity relationship that you know that I am your father and I'm not just a God of empty words. So when you stand before Pharaoh, No matter what happened, you stand. Like Paul said, after you have done all to stand, you stand. But when if you don't know who you are, if you are not convinced, then when the winds begin to come, you don't know where you stand. And that's what's happened in the message now. Amen? People don't know exactly where they stood for 20, 30, 40 years, and when everything begins to come down and say, oh, when you know what, maybe this is a false prophet. Or maybe this is wrong. But you see, because there were times when the first time Moses went there, look what God did. They told him, you're gonna do more bricks. Moses had to go to God and say, wait a minute, God, why have you dealt this with your children? But if God hasn't proven to Moses that I am God, by all those miracles, throw your stick, what do you have in your hand? Put your hand. So all that was showing Moses that I'm a God of wonder. So even though Moses did not understand why the first day he put more hardship into the children of Israel, but however, I know that this God is a God of wonder. I've seen it. It's not, if it had only been the Torah that Moses read, he can still have doubt. But God did it. Put your hand. What? Like leprosy. Put it back. Throw down your stick. See a tree burning and it's not being consumed. Amen? Then God saw that this is a God of wonder. And he said, now when I go there, what should I tell them? And in fact, the Hebrew sages, they said that, well, in fact, the question Moses was asking, who are you? But he was asking, he said, when I go there, what do I tell them? It's like another way of asking, but who are you? And he said, I am that I am. A year I share a year. That's what the Bible records, a year I share a year. I am that I am. Amen? And if we run that, those words, a year I share a year, it's so deep. It goes way back for the first time when God said, let there be. Amen? Okay? One day, God willing, we take time and go through those things. But it will run deep. That's why you see that nothing in the word of God, he just said at random. And that's why we have a quote where Abraham said, if you read the Bible and you don't see Christ, you'll be still read again. Amen? So, Moses was convinced. That's why when he stood in front of Pharaoh, the greatest man in those days, do you think that Moses would stand there if he were not sure what would happen? Here, he threw his stick. Aaron became his prophet. And God told him, you be God to Aaron. He threw his stick. Here, Jannes and Jambres throw theirs. Now, tell me, friends, if it had been you and I, who didn't know what we are about, you didn't just say, oh, my goodness, maybe that's what's wrong. Maybe, right? Same thing today. When you go out there, we said we have divine healing. When the Beatles went to Australia, people begin to get up and walk. People question Brother Branham, what is that? And Brother Branham said, no, it's that God is contacted by faith. And regardless of where you are, if you can have faith and contact him, he heals you. Because that goes with the atonement that Christ, when he was on the cross, said, it is finished. When that blood went, it went for the human race. So anybody, doesn't matter who you are. Brother Bram said, I'll have in the line, people who have been there for a long time, they want to hear, but somebody just come, or know nothing, and that person, Brother Bram said, because that person sees that, got a hold of God and got him. Like Brother Brown talked also about the experience in South Africa. Just one thing done, these people that don't know nothing about who God is, nothing about Jesus being real, but we just saw one thing done. And all what God wants at all time is have faith in him to connect. Amen? So Moses have seen that. And so when he threw the snakes down, and he saw Moses, he was not shaken. But if Moses hasn't seen God in action, he would have been shaky, say, whoa, maybe, I better think twice what I'm doing here. When each time he does something, the magician will come and do it. All that God was doing to test Moses. That what he saw, do you really believe in what you saw? Amen. That when I told you put your hand, do you know that it is I am that I am? Amen? So, I'll quickly skip. When God came down with his family and identified himself, amen? Like I said, if you remember, I was saying, if God didn't give my precious wife, Sister Henriette, there, I would not have a family. Is that right? But when God, before we got married, her name is Henriette Plevios. I was Marcel Chau. But when we met, right, her name became Henriette Chau. We formed a family. Amen? So I have to, when you have your bride, I cannot just say, I couldn't have just called her wife. Even though I like calling her that way, Sherry and all that, but it's a name. Is that right? So God in Genesis, and Brother Brian explained this to us, that in Genesis 2, when God came down and began to have a family, he gave them, he had to give a name. Because just saying God, it's just an object for all worship. Everybody can say that. Elohim and everyone can say that, but God came down and gave a name. And that name, as I told you, how many consonants are there? Anybody remember? Four. You see, I really want you to remember those things. That's very important. The name of God has four consonants. Is there any vowel in Hebrew language? No. All right, good. All right. So the name, his personal name has four. And I told you, he start with what letter? Yud. The smallest. Remember all those details. You remember how Brother George will come and begin to talk about details? So when I heard Brother George speaking those things, I said, you know what? That's why I say I'm not going to be in rush anymore. I'm going to take my time so that you got to pick up. There are some details I'm saying. I know them. But I'm like, you know what? I have a message to preach. I have 45 minutes. I need to get out. Don't just keep going. But maybe God, that's not real. God wants you. God didn't just send a minister here to be heard. We are nobodies. God can use anything that he wants to preach his word. But God wants his children to have knowledge, which is part of the seven virtues. Faith. When you have faith, then you have the knowledge to know who God is. Is he really your father? For you to know that God is your father, Brother Tim, I'm sorry, maybe you can come sit down. Brother Tim has the mic there. He was good at secret, but I haven't been secreted as that. Maybe, Brother Tim, I'm sorry, next time I'm going to secret it more. This time, yeah, I know I took people by surprise, so I just want to be a little bit easy. All right? So, God, you see, if you even look in the pyramid, you have faith. If I have faith, Brother Bram said you have two kind of people. Some people have great faith, but they don't know who they are. Some know who they are, but they can't write a check. Amen? When you get those two together, when you have the faith and know who you are, you can do wonders. Amen? So remember, I told you that the name of God, when he began to identify his family, he started his name by the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is Yud. And Yud, I told you in the Bible, I told you, according to the Hebrew, mean hand. Right? And the second letter of his name was He. That give the son, Yud give the son of Y. He give the son of H. And I told you that He mean what? Behold. And the third letter, consonant of the Hebrew alphabet, is a Vav. And Vav is written by what? Who remembers that? Vav is represented by a nail. And the last one of his name again is again behold. So if I want to spell his name by what I said, is hen, behold, nail, behold. So the first time when Thomas came, when Thomas said, I will not believe it, what did he say? Behold my hand, put your hand in it. So for the very, very first time that God came, he already told us what he was going to do. Amen? And if you remember, Brother Branham said, but that didn't happen then, Genesis 2. It happened before. And as I told you, every minister will take you by in the beginning, but only a prophet, an ordained prophet with a special gift for the end time, God allowed him to go back before the beginning and begin to tell us we were attributes in God's mind. Amen. And when God began to see those attributes, and I told you, the minute God thought about you, God became vulnerable to you. His heart. You remember what the message I teach you Wednesday? The minute God thought about you as my family, he's vulnerable. Tell me any good father, any good mother who will not be vulnerable to his children. Is there any here? I don't know. Any good father, any good mother who will not be vulnerable to their children. So if we human beings, that's what I just said, if you, evil, knows that if your child asks you for bread, you're not giving a stone, what about your father in heaven? Amen? So the minute God thought about you, this is my attribute I'm going to manifest, God became vulnerable to us. And he has to come and die. And even his own name already showed what he was coming to do. Back then, way back then, thousands of years before he came to do it, he's already said, I'll be crucified. Because Brother Abraham said, when that happened, what did he do? When he saw you, he looked through the stream of time. He saw what will happen to you, everything that you do. And what did he do, Brother Abraham said? And he killed the lamb. And how was the lamb die? On the cross. And I told you, when God was speaking in the Bible, he said, Bereshit bara Elohim et. He said, in the beginning God created. After that, the word that comes is a word, if you remember, I'm not putting it up because now I know when I have it, everybody's looking. So now I won't put it up so that you can get it more. It's in the beginning God created, and the word that come that is a word that have two letters, et. The word et on its own have no meaning. If I put the word et on its own, have no meaning. It all have to be attached to something, indicating something. And I told you that word et is formed by what? The first set of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, which is God himself, giving the power, the unity, Aleph. And what, which one? And I'll give you now. Tav, thank you. And what is Tav? How is Tav represented? By the Jew themselves. By what? You should remember this one. Don't let me down on this one. This one is too important, I mentioned that. What is the last consonant of the Hebrew alphabet? Somebody just said it. Just say it louder.
Tav.
You see, have confidence. So the last consonant of the Hebrew alphabet is called Tav. But Tav, in the Hebrew, they have pictures before. Like for the Aleph, they have the head of a bull. That means power, strength. Number one, God. Nobody stronger than him. The headship. Aleph, commander, leader. The last, the Tav, is represented by a cross. If you want, go on the internet, do all your search. When the Hebrew alphabet was a picture, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav, was a cross. So in the beginning, you have God, Aleph, and the cross. He created. So when you read the Hebrew Bible, it says Bereshit, Bara Elohim. All I've said now, I mean the beginning created God. And I told you why those words were like that before. I won't be able to go in today. Then the first thing said created. The word that fall there is a letter that have the first word of the Hebrew alphabet and the last. Remember, Abraham told us in the beginning, God saw the end before even the beginning. So you see, all that fit. But you see, when Brother Abraham is talking about those things, Brother Abraham didn't like study Hebrew, but God gave him, he'll begin to give us all those. So even if you don't know Hebrew today, all what I'm telling you, you already know it all in the message. Amen? So God created the beginning and the end. And the last thing that he will do on the cross, and I'll bring this later, one day when I'll bring that, we get too excited, was he was on a cross. So now my homework for you today, I would like you to read the book of John. What was the last thing Jesus did on a cross before he said it's finished? I would like you to read it well, because I will bring something from the Hebrew that will get you excited over that. All right, so quickly, let's run. So I say God always identified by his characteristics. So like he did for Moses over the book of John. I won't give you the chapter. I just said the last he did on the cross. So you got to find yourself, what's the chapter of the crucifixion? What did he do last before he said it is finished? Okay? Now, I said that God liked to identify himself by characteristics, just like he did for Moses, showing him, I can do this, I can do that. He began, when he came down, began to form a family, he gave his name. And that name is four consonants. Nobody knows the vowel. We people pretend. People say Yahweh, Jehovah. Remember, there's no J in Hebrew. Every time you say J in Hebrew, is a Y. So some say Yehovah, Yahweh, people begin to fit in. The Jew, they know that each time they see that, just say Adonai. Each time, that's because for them it's too holy, is the proper name of God. Like you say Marcel or anybody or your proper name, that's his proper name that he gave there in Genesis 2. Like I said, when he began, Abraham explained that to us, that when God came down and began to form a family, you cannot have a family without a last name. There has to be a name. So God gave that name. But throughout the generation, that name was too holy. It's like sometime when your children come to you, you cannot say, Marcel, say, Dad, right? For them, that name was too holy. Until today, the Hasidic Jew and all that, they call it Hashem. Hashem, the name, Ha mean D, Shem mean name. So the name bless you, and so they cannot call that name. They cannot call it. Okay, for them, blasphemy. So if ever you are by Jew, make sure you don't pronounce those things, because then he can, like Brother Joy was saying, be a smack, he said, hey, you are cursing those people, you ever, all right? And so if you're saying, like I was saying one time by a Hasidic Jew, I was saying something, he said, no, don't say the second word, don't say the second word. Because I was trying to tell him that, no, the Aaronic blessing, Yevarehecha Adonai, for him, he wouldn't even say Adonai, just say Hashem, the name. He said, I can say Yevarehecha Hashem. Mean made the name bless you, then we have been good term. Okay, so when God gave those names, I'll come back to that later. When Abraham later on everything happened and the flood and all that, he took now Abraham, and we saw that Abraham was what? Was Abraham a very holy man? Abraham came from paganism. He was nobody, he was just like you and I. But God took him to show that no matter what happens to any one of you, it's not because you pray, it's not about your genealogy, it's not about your heritage, it's not about what your parents did, it's not about what you did, but it's my grace and mercy for you. You have nothing to do with that. And then God came to Abraham when Abraham was 99 years old. He said, now you see, if you come to me, you have to come to me as a child. And if you notice, Jesus even referred to that, don't let the children come to me. And he also said one time, they say Jesus rejoiced in the spirit, said, oh, Father, I thank thee, for you have hidden yourself from the wise but have revealed yourself to babe, such as we learn. So when you come to God, okay, I didn't get into my subject, we get into it next time, but that's where we're going to be. Because for me to preach this Jehovah Nissi, you must have this great, good foundation in all what I'm saying now. Okay? Jehovah Nissi means God, our banner. Why is he a banner for you? Why is he a banner? And if you remember, I'm keep referring a lot to Brother Joy because a lot of things refer to that, but you're talking about night, that they have the insignia. Right? And that's the banner we're going to talk about. Next time we go into that, okay? So God wants you to know him. Amen? But the way to know him, now, all of you, look at your children. If you promise a child, I'm going to give you a bike, the child will never ask you, Dad, you have money in the bank? No. Dad, do you have, how would you pay for it? Is your credit card loaded? No. You promise that child a bike, that child will buy. Dad, where's the bike? Where's the bike? And that's how God wants us to approach him. If God says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, he wants you day and night. Didn't Jesus say that? And then Jesus, to even show that, he talked about the parable of the unjust judge. He said the woman keep going with the judge. Say, you know what? This lady's going to wear me down. Let me make a justice. All those that God was telling you, that relates you back to when he said, I'm El Shaddai. Now, when he said El Shaddai, I'm the breasted God. We saw the word Shaddai. And all what God was telling Abraham, Abraham, you're 99 years old, but you know what? You're my baby. You're my baby. You're not 99. You're just a baby. And that's what God wants with all of us. I don't know how much you say, I prayed. I came from a Christian family. I've done this. I've done that. I've done that. When you come before God, God, I'm your baby. And when God says, I give you the Holy Spirit, you bug your God. I know you promised me. Where's the Holy Spirit, Lord? When you promise a child a bike or whatever, candy. He keep asking, Dad, where's the candy? Where's the candy? Give me the candy. Same thing. So when you come before God and God has promised you the Holy Spirit, every God, where's the Holy Spirit? I didn't get it today. Where is it? That child will bugging you until you say, you know what? I better give him the Holy. I better give him that. Amen? So when God promised you the Holy Spirit, God promised you your healing. God promised you your child. That is gone. Your daughter, your son. Amen? God promised you that. He promised you, I'll give you good health. I'll do all that. He's not a liar. And that's why God wants to prove to you, I'm not a liar. I'm not an absent father. Okay? I don't pay child support. I'm here. I'm supporting you. Amen? I'm almost some of my time here, but next time we pick this up. But I am a father, and I'll supply for your need. So first of all, Abraham has to come to a child. I can reason with God. If I tell you, go sacrifice Isaac, okay, you said so, I'm going to do it. That's a child. You tell a child, go do something, he'll do it. He won't question you. Amen? So God came and El Shaddai, and we go again. Then later on, he told him, I'm the God who provide you. Jehovah Jireh, amen? And then we begin to study the seven redemptive name of God, and we call the compound name, mean, he said, I am, he gave his proper name. But he said, that's not just enough. I want to show my strength. So he said, I am Jehovah Jireh. I'm the God who will see to you. I'll see to it that all your needs are provided for. Then he comes in, I'm Jehovah Rapha. Rapha in Hebrew, but the English we got it Rapha. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the healer. I'll heal you. And then what we are going to see today, I'm Jehovah Nissi. I'm your banner. So what I ask you to do as homework, since we did get to it, I would like you to read. I didn't even get to my test at all. Because I just realized that if I didn't give this background, if I keep going, we just keep going. But I don't want that anymore. Exodus, I would like you to read the entire chapter of Exodus 17. Exodus 17. That way, when I come next time, I won't spend all this time. When I'm getting to you guys, we'll know exactly where I'm coming from, where I'm going. Exodus 17. Galatians 16. No, that is Galatians 1:6. Yeah, Galatians 16. And then read Romans 21 to 22. Romans 21 to 22. All right, I've used all my time now. And all I have to pray now is pray. All I do now is just pray and get out, right? Exodus 17 and I think Galatians 16. Let me make sure. The 16th chapter, right? There's those, maybe it's 1-6 then. I was in a hurry, I wrote it. That's why I kind of a little bit confused. Does anybody have Galatians 1-6 open? Galatians 1 and 1 and verse 6, what does it say? Anybody has that? All right. But anyway, I might have you written. But anyway, make sure you read Exodus 17 and Romans 7. That's why I wrote it clearly. Romans 7, 21 to 24. Sometimes I get excited about things. And Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 24. Romans 7, verse 21 to 24. And Exodus, we get rid of the whole chapter of Exodus. Now let us pray. Let us rise to our feet and pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you gave us, Father, to be here today. Lord, we pray that you bless us. And Father, anoint the word that is becoming by the minister today. Bless the minister, anoint him, anoint your congregation. May we enter into the spirit to worship and praise you. May we give you all that is within us, Lord. And Father, may you bless each one of us. As we depart from your house, may we take you with us. Let us not just feel like we come to church, we meet you, and we go home. But let us know that, Father, you are a father. And as a father who is omniscient, omnipresent, you are with us all the time. We can just reach out to you at any time, anywhere. Anywhere we may be, we can just talk to you and say, Father, and you hear us and tell us, I'm Jehovah El Shaddai, you are my child. I'm Jehovah Jireh, I'll provide for your need. Amen. Let us always live under your banner. Let us fight our Christian life under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we commit all to your hands. We bless your name. We praise you for a joyful heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be dismissed. Next time, I'll really enter my topic. But read it. I think that will help us more next time. God bless you.